You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
If I punch you, you're going to turn the other cheek.
20 years ago, I would have knocked you back. But now I would create an environment where you would cease to feel hostility.
The elites of California have decided that we're going to have same-sex marriage, and what the people want can be damned.
You are asked now, perhaps by your creator, not on a question of gay or straight. You are asked now to stand on a question of love. Let the tiny ember of love meet its own fate.
All you need is love.
Since President-elect Obama said that his main thing was change, then it's time for him to have a change of heart for the little babies in America who are being aborted and they're dying.
Well, very seldom does a genuine bona fide historical saint of the early church undergo such a transformation into the 20th and 21st century American life as has St. Nicholas. It's a remarkable transformation from ordinary saint and bishop to elf riding in a sleigh with reindeer, his minions making toys at the North Pole all year long until they deliver them all in one night. And who believes in Santa Claus? And yet, St. Nicholas, a real man, a real bishop, a real Christian, at a very pivotal time in the life of the early Christian church. We're going to be talking about this 4th century bishop of Myrna, St. Nicholas, with Pastor David Peterson here in the first part of this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email questions or comments to us right here in the studio on this Friday, December the 5th. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. A little bit later, Black Friday violence, people being trampled to death at Walmart, pushed, shoved, hurt, shot. Colleen Carroll Campbell will be our guest. And then audio open lines in the last half hour. We've got an NPR story about two new ways of marketing the Bible. One is the Green Bible. It's got a green tree on the front. It's made from recyclable and recycled materials. And all the passages that the editors of this new marketed Bible believe pertain to the environment are highlighted in green inside. Is this a good way to get the Bible into the hands of people? The other one is like a coffee table book. It's called the Illuminated New Testament. And it's got all sorts of glossy pictures of celebrities and other people to illuminate the text of the New Testament. Are these good ways of bringing the Bible to people who would not ordinarily read it? Do you think that the Bible needs this kind of marketing? I want your thoughts on the marketing of the Bible in about a half hour. Audio open lines, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He joins us to talk about 4th century bishop of Myrna, St. Nicholas. Pastor Peterson, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
This is pretty interesting. One of the places you can actually really, truly, I believe, locate St. Nicholas in time and history is at an amazing gathering in 325, the Council of Nicaea. What do we know about Nicholas and the Council of Nicaea?
Well, I'm afraid we don't know for sure he was there. So we ought to say that. The Council of Nicaea was a gathering of bishops, and Nicholas was a bishop and almost certainly would have been there. But he doesn't appear on the lists of names. So before we get in trouble for saying things we can't prove, we ought to admit that. The The Council of Nicaea, of course, was a gathering of bishops called by the Emperor Constantine because a priest named Arius had been teaching that our Lord had been created by the Father, that Jesus had been created by the Father. So he wasn't as divine as the Father. And that was the controversy that caused the council.
Okay, but we can locate Nicholas in the church's history at or around this pivotal council.
Right, we can, and he's a bishop, and he wasn't that far away, so it's presumable that he would be there. But the really interesting thing, the reason that we're so interested in whether or not he was there is because there's this fascinating legend about a confrontation between Nicholas and Arius. It's a legend. It doesn't mean that it didn't happen, but we don't have good historical evidence that it did happen. It's not recorded in the minutes of the council. But the great story is this, the legend, and the reason that Nicholas was venerated so much and held up as such a role model is because at the council there was this priest there trying to defend his views, and his views were simply that Jesus had been created by the Father and was not divine in the same way as the Father. And, of course, the Christians all said, that's crazy and that's terrible and that destroys our faith because we can't be saved by a man who's elevated into godhood. Because, in fact, for someone to take our place and to make payment for our sins, for one person to do that, a single man could only take the place of one single man. So we need, as the scriptures promise us, God in the flesh actually standing in the gap and taking our place. So the debate, as you can imagine, becomes quite heated because what Arius is teaching is poisonous and is destructive and leads ultimately to hell. So it goes on for several days, and Arius will not be moved. And from Nicholas's perspective, Arius will not be moved by reason, by scripture, by admonitions to love. And Nicholas, as it turns out, loses his temper and jumps up and slaps Arius and knocks him to the ground. Well, this is no way for bishops to behave, and of course, it was absolutely wrong. This is not the right response on Nicholas's part. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So the other bishops there decide that he should be removed from office for this. This is not behavior becoming of a bishop, even if Arius deserved it. This isn't the way we're supposed to behave, and even if Arius is wrong, that's not the way love responds. So Nicholas is removed. But then that night, the bishops reconsider, and after prayer and so forth, and Nicholas's repentance, Nicholas is restored to the office of bishop on the very next day.
What else do we know about this guy? Because so far the story sounds nothing like the St. Nicholas, even the ones that try and be true to form, the St. Nicholas of American capitalism, a Christmas celebration.
Right. Well, Nicholas was quite renowned and famous for being very charitable, that he was very concerned for the poor. Probably the most famous and important legend of Nicholas is that he was orphaned at a fairly young age. His parents were very wealthy. And even though he was a boy, when he got this inheritance, he gave all of it to the poor. So he just disowned all of his stuff because he saw all these people in need, and he couldn't help himself but help them. And then all through his life, there was these stories of him giving everything away and always giving things to people to help them. So he was a very charitable person and did these great acts of kindness. What drove this idea of Santa Claus and the giving of gifts. Nicholas died on December 6th, so his feast day became December 6th, and then because he was charitable, Christians started to observe his day or honor his memory by giving gifts to one another or doing acts of charity. And then from there, it developed into this gift-giving thing that overshadowed all else, and the way that we often do, creation overtook the creator in our minds and in our devotion, and we loved a good thing more than we loved the giver. So we got caught up in the giving of gifts without recognizing where charity comes from. And the real irony of that, of course, is that, I mean, Nicholas, I'm sure, would have been scandalized by such a thing, because he saw the same zeal that drove him wrongly, I mean, the same passion that caused him to jump up and slap Arius, was no different than the passion that caused him to give everything away. I mean, he recognized in himself that he had been rescued by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it caused him to act out in the world, not always perfectly, maybe not always wisely. Maybe it wasn't the wisest thing to give all his stuff away either. But he would have not seen them as two separate things. I think the kind of really interesting thing, in a sick way, is that we have this idea now that you can love someone, you can do a nice thing for him, and it has no bearing on what you believe. There's this divorce of, and in fact, it's better if you don't do it because you believe something.
Okay, so is there a long historic tradition of the gift giving? Is Nicholas pretty much been with this time of the year and this celebration throughout the year for the better part of church history? We've got about a minute before we take a break, and we'd like just a few minutes with you on the other side of the break.
Sure. Yeah, it has been. It's been almost immediately upon Nicholas's death, or at least by the within 100 years, that they start to celebrate this, and gift giving becomes a very popular way of observing it.
Pastor David Peterson is our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're remembering, along with the church, the actual celebration is tomorrow. Fourth century bishop, St. Nicholas. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. What kind of questions or comments do you have about St. Nicholas? 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. A few more minutes with Pastor Peterson, and then Colleen Carol Campbell will join us to talk about the Black Friday violence and audio open lines. How far should we go in marketing the Bible to people?
Celebrate with gifts that illuminate the message of the holiday season from Concordia Publishing House. Click cph.org to shop a wide selection of books, home decor, and seasonal gifts, and find the perfect present for everyone on your list. And throughout December, purchase a children's Christmas book online or in our bookstore, and Concordia will donate a Christmas book to a local children's charity. Gifts with a message and a meaning. From Concordia Publishing House. Believe in the wonder.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking about St. Nicholas, actually the 4th century bishop, St. Nicholas. as we approach what the world thinks of St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, and all that kind of stuff. Does your family do anything special for St. Nicholas Day on December 6th? That's the day that the church remembers him tomorrow, of course. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Here's Andy listening in St. Louis. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Todd. I've long advocated separating the idea of Santa Claus for those families that want to continue that tradition from the celebration of Christmas. And I think that if Santa Claus is going to come and leave gifts, it might be appropriate to do it on December the 6th.
Andy, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Pastor Peterson, your thoughts?
Well, I know some families that have done exactly that. I mean, Christian families, for exactly the reasons Andy said. They're trying to hold on to something of the American culture with the Santa Claus idea, but try to make it so that that Christmas really can really be celebrated in the full joy that it's intended, that it's the our Lord come to earth to be our Savior.
It is
kind of a funny thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It is kind of a funny thing that Nicholas gave gifts, though, to the poor, and we give gifts to each other. We give gifts to our loved ones. I mean, if we really want to commemorate Nicholas, December 6th, it would seem to me what we ought to do is give something to poor people, not to our children.
Maybe it's because we're insulated from it, Pastor.
We're insulated from poor people.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I'm talking about myself here. I'm not condemning the whole world. Wouldn't that be the way to really honor the memory and the work of St. Nicholas?
Well, tomorrow the church is going to remember the person and work of St. Nicholas. Why does it do us well so far on in history from his time to remember this man, St. Nicholas, this faithful saint?
Well, I think we see several key things in Nicholas. In the first place, we see a saint who is not perfect. I mean, he does fail, in a sense, at the Council of Nicaea. He does behave badly, and yet he is forgiven. And we see somebody there that I think we can identify with, like the biblical saints, like Jacob, like David, like all of them, that we see that our God is the God of forgiveness. And he continues to love us despite our failures. So that is a great strength of Nicholas. Also, that we see in Nicholas his love of Jesus Christ acting out in mercy for his neighbors, and we see a role model there that we can imitate. So those are good reasons to remember him.
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's also author of the blog Cyber Stones. And you'll find a link to his blog under the on-demand page at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Pastor Peterson, thanks again.
Thank you, Todd.